And today I'm going to talk about the keys to abundance. And let's just get right into this. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 45. And it says this: Who then is the faithful and wise servant? How many of you want to be the faithful and wise servant? All right, so here's the direction you do. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? Why did God put someone in charge of his household? You know, because they're supposed to take care of them. They're supposed to organize, run things. Okay, so who's the wise servant? Faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of his servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time. It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. Praise God. This is a powerful passage. The principle that's revealed here is a key to abundance. And, you know, God wants you to have an abundance. This is Abundant Life Family Church. Abundance doesn't include only money. And people think that I don't think God provides. I do believe God provides money. I just think that when we make that such a big, the biggest diamond in the room, so to speak, that we cheapen God, because God is so much more than money. And in fact, money is kind of like, that's like pop metal. You know, that's like scrap iron that you can't even, has no trade-in value. You know, it's like tin. I mean, I don't know. It's just in God's world, money's not that big a deal. And so it's not that I don't believe that God provides us money. I just want people to understand there's more to it than that. Abundance doesn't only include money. Money is part of it, but God's abundance isn't limited to money. And, but you know, prosperity has to do with everything in life. You know, when Jesus fed the 5,000 with a couple loaves of fish and a few loaves of bread, most of us could probably buy two fish and five bread, but we would have a hard time having enough money to feed 5,000 people. And so, but with God, you see, it doesn't always take money. If you can make two pieces of bread and loaves of bread feed 5,000 people, that's prosperity, isn't it? I mean, that's prosperity beyond anything money can buy you. And so God gave you gifts. And that's what you need to understand. It doesn't matter what you think of them. I don't care if you think you're the last one in line. It doesn't make any difference. Don't be all fussed up. God gave you gifts. And it doesn't matter what you think of them. The key is you need to know why God gave you the gifts that He gave you. He gives you gifts to fulfill His purpose. In other words, you're like the servant that's been put in charge of a particular duty. And when God comes back, He needs to find you using your gifts to fulfill the duty on which He gave you those, by which He gave those gifts to you. And not everybody's duty is the same, but the point is what is your duty with the gifts that He's given you? He blesses you so that you can be a productive part of His creation, more specifically His body, the church. His gifts are for your benefit, but not only your benefit. You know, there's a principle in the Bible where it talks about ox. I don't have this in my notes. I'm making this up right now. No, I'm not making it up. It's in the Bible, but I'm kind of paraphrasing. I'm trying to think of it. It's about the ox who is treading out the grain. You know, he's turning the millstone or whatever it is. And it says not to muzzle him. Because, you know, the idea is you know, if he gets to eat a little bit of the flour that he's producing, you know, lick it up as he's going, he'll work harder and faster and longer. And so God gives you gifts, and yes, you are to live from your gifts. You are to partake and take of them. You're like an hog, you know, you're not muzzled. He wants you to participate in the bounty that you have, but it's not all for you. And so, you know, it's what He gives you is greater than that. So it's that other portion that you have to be faithful with. He gives you gifts to serve others. The problem is people think that they can wait before they help others. They can wait until their gifts are increased. And then when their gifts are increased or their position is increased or they're in a more favorable spot, then they'll start fulfilling their duty. And that's the mistake. You cannot say one day, when all my needs are met, I will help others. You must be faithful with what you have where you're at. When Joseph was sold into slavery, he was faithful. And when he was thrown into prison, he was faithful. The widow with only a few pennies, She was faithful. If you're faithful with what you have been given, where you're at, your blessings will multiply. You just have to trust that process. You know, you will be given more if you're faithful with the things, I don't care if they're small or great, if you're faithful with the things that God has given to you, He will bless you with more. There are countless gifts. You know, being able to forgive others, that's a gift. And if you're a Christian, guess what? That's a gift that you have been given. Every Christian has the ability to forgive somebody. Being able to forgive is a gift. And if you forgive others, then you'll be forgiven in the same way. But if you are hard and make everyone pay for every mistake without mercy, then you're going to pay for all your mistakes without mercy. And so think about having a box of forgiveness. We'll quantify it. Okay, and it's been delivered to you. You know, the UPS man just brought it to you, and here it is, all the forgiveness you're going to need for this week or your life or whatever it is. And, you know, and so God gets it to you so that you get to divvy it up. And so if you use a tiny micro measure spoons, and maybe some of you collect those, carry a little bag of those around. So if you know you use a tiny micro measure spoon, then you're going to receive back what you need with tiny micro measure spoon. And I don't know, that wouldn't keep me fed very long. I'd use that pack up in I don't know how long. I think, well, that get me through one meal. And yet some people, that's kind of what they're like. They just kind of have their little pocket full of micro measures, and they'll give, but, you know it's like pulling wisdom teeth or something. And so if you use a large scoop, do I have a picture of a large scoop? You will be blessed. You'll be blessed with a large scoop. And so the measure, you know, is going to depend upon what size your box is. And I suppose if you have a little micro-sized box, a micro measure might be a big deal. But, it's just a measure of, you know, how much you're willing, you know, to fulfill your purpose. To what extent will you go to fulfill God's purpose in your life? You know, to what extent will you reach to be faithful to Him, you know, in faith? And you're going to be blessed back accordingly. Go with me to Matthew chapter 7, verse 2. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use it will be measured to you. You see, you get to decide what measure you use when using your gifts. They're given to you. They're your gifts. Say you oversee the daily ration of food. And if you only feed those under your care one meal a day, one scrawny meal a day with all the stuff that's going out of date, and while you eat at a buffet three times a day, well, you know, you're supposed to eat from the daily ration, but if you're eating three meals of buffet and you're scrounging on those that are under your care, well, then you're not going to be rewarded very well. You get to decide the measure. And again, that's not according to what you don't have. That's just according to what you do have. And so you get to decide the measure, but you will reap in the same way. So fear becomes your biggest enemy. It bends you. Fear is the opposite of beauty products. It just makes you ugly. It gives you wrinkles. It does everything that's bad. You cannot take enough vitamins to counteract the effects of fear. You know, it's just bad, bad stuff. And it bends you. It causes you to hold back your gifts. If you're generous, you know, you're afraid people, if I really open up my heart to, you know, then people are just going to take advantage of me. I mean, you give them an inch, they do what? If you give them an inch, what do they take? And I mean, we're all familiar with these sentiments. But what we aren't always familiar with are the principles of God. We know the principles of the world, but it's the principles of God sometimes that give us difficulty. And so, you know, if you withhold generosity, giving you more stuff, God just blessing you more, it only makes you worse. I mean, the more you have, the more you have to lose. And so God isn't mad. You know, it's not that he's punishing you, but he will not give you more than you can handle. And so no matter where you start out, no matter how little it is, you know, if you're faithful with that, okay, very good. And now he'll give you some more. And if you're faithful with that, and then when you're not faithful, I mean, it's kind of self-regulating. And so he's not going to do that. The key to prosperity, you see, is to learn to be a bigger giver. In other words, just learn to be able to be fearless in using the gifts that he gives you. And again, we're not talking just about money. We're certainly not separating money away from it. And I'll give everything but money. I mean, it's your whole life. It's every gift. Whatever is in your possession, whether it's the ability to smile, whether it's the ability to forgive, whether it's the ability to encourage, whatever it is, you know, whatever power you have, whatever, that's your gift. And you get to decide how you're going to use it and spend it. Some of it's for you, and some of it's for others. And so you have to decide what's God's purpose in my life. And if you're faithful with your gifts to that purpose, then he will expand that. Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. For even when we were with you, we gave this rule. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. Okay, so here's the point now. We're not saved by works, but works done in faith produce positive results. Work is a sacrifice. How many of you ever regret getting up and having to go to work? Unless you've been unemployed for a long time, then maybe you're thankful to get up and go to work. But sometimes, you know, it's not the best. And you know, how many of you gals just love certain days of the week because you get to spend the day cleaning the house? Or maybe some of you guys do that, you know, and there's certain chore days and you just think, oh, laundry day. And so we have an aversion to work. Work is kind of a sacrifice. It takes a decision to get ourselves going, and some people are a lot better at it than other people. Jesus made himself the ultimate sacrifice, and he gained everything. And he is the pattern for us all. You know, working or giving ourselves, sacrificing, or whatever, you get to use whatever measure, using the biggest measure you can, that's not really going to hurt you. It only benefits you. It's the only thing that keeps you from using bigger measure, though, is sometimes your fear. Lack of knowledge. He gained everything. But here's the point. You don't want to avoid the discomfort of giving. The discomfort of working. The discomfort of having to get up and move. You know, the discomfort of having to get up and, you know, be positive or let your light shine. It's just easier to go sit down and give up. And just kind of lie there in a moaning and groaning state. A decision to work is a decision to sacrifice what you would rather do. What you would rather do is not sweat. You know? I mean, sometimes even like during praise and worship. You know what? It can be work to raise your hand. And, you know, it's like, you know why? Because it takes a lot less energy to do this than it does this. And especially if you're not well in shape and you're not used to it. I mean, doing 6 inches, remember holding your arms out, how long you can do that? I mean, unless you go to CrossFit, it can be hard. Or you're a farmer and carry them big buckets around. Oh, my gosh. We got a thing that we could at CrossFit, we call it the farmer carry. Makes you respect farmers. You know, I got to carry that thing out of one-handed, out of balance. Oh, my goodness. Anyway. I got some balls down there. Any of you guys think you're really strong? I got something I want to show you down there. It's amazing. He just got them in. Anyway, moving on. That was all free. I'm going to charge Chris for that advertisement later. Anyway. You know, human motive wants to get the biggest bang for the buck. I mean, you know, collecting the wages of others that they produce with their sweat, that's a lot better. You know, a lot better if you can just sit back and get other people to earn some money for you. And it's a lot better if you can just sit back. I mean, that's why we want to grow up. When we're kids, right? Because what happens when you're kids? Mom and dad tell you, do this, do that, clean your room. This life stinks. I got to clean my room. I want to watch cartoons or something, okay? And so why we want to grow up and become adults? So we can be lazy. so we can tell them to go do all that stuff. I mean, that's what it looks like to us. That's kind of our opinion. And so we're kind of motivated that. And so what happens is we fight over who does the chores. And we fight over the wages and who's going to get the most and how much and whose turn is it to buy a shirt today or whatever the case may be. But we should embrace the discomfort of giving or working or making a sacrifice. That is not something we should avoid. That feeling or that idea, that principle is something that we should accept. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 10. It says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. Now again, I want to emphasize not to think only of money and employment or jobs. This is more than that. God is the God of hearts. And if you have your heart right, you'll handle your employment right in all the other areas. But if you're a sleep and slumber sort of person, it doesn't matter whether you have a job or not. God is the God of hearts. The idea here is not to be lazy in the attitude of your heart. Don't have a stingy heart. Don't have a heart that doesn't want to give. And having a stingy heart is an easy way. Just easier to worry about yourself. For example, don't hold back love. Okay, I mean, sometimes we have plenty of love, but sometimes loving people, it's just work. You know, it's just a lot easier to forget it. And out of sight, out of mind, whatever the case is. Love is work. And it tugs on you. Sometimes people you love are disappointing you or they, whatever, and you just think, oh my goodness. Don't hold back goodwill. That's a decision you make. Extending goodwill, that's just work. You know, it's a lot easier just to have a bad attitude about somebody. You can certainly have a better conversation or a longer one anyway. And so that's easy. See, that's the easy way, the broad way. But making a decision to extend goodwill has nothing to do with your pocketbook. Just has a decision on whether your heart's going to be lazy, whether you're going to be sleeping in slumber, and whether you're going to, choose to do what God's called you to do with the gifts that He's given to you. Having a spouse is work. Usually it's more work for one of them. Of course, we always think we're the one who's doing the most work. And when we get lazy, in our marriages, our relationship, things are not going to go well. Sometimes when we're courting and we're doing all the things we want to do, I mean, no expense can be spared. You're digging in the couch to try to find some money so you can take her out on a date, whatever it takes. I drove from Tulsa, Oklahoma to Waterloo, Iowa one day through the night, like 12 hours of driving. Drove all the way there just so I could take Joan out on a date. And she wasn't even there. It's just a lot easier to surprise them with flowers. But then after you're hitched up for a few years, pretty soon it just seems like, I'm just so tired. I'm kind of tired of this. I don't really get tired of Joan, though, because I live in a miracle house. I just like throw my clothes here and there and they get washed and they show up in my drawer. Someone was posting the other day online, how do you clean a wood floor, restore it, make it look beautiful? I said, you get a wife. it's not that hard. Slumber is simply letting yourself not care. In other words, not making that effort, to be who God has called you to be. to deliver the food that he's told you to deliver. And you're supposed to be a helpmate. And he's given you the gift to be a helpmate, so you should give what? Help. And I don't know about you, but sometimes criticizing your wife, telling her all the things that she does wrong, and whatever the case, that is, she doesn't really consider that to be helpful. You know, in other words, instead of engaging proactively, you know, to nurture, you know, we can just draw into ourselves. We can just say, what about me? You know, drawing into yourself, that takes the least effort. You know, just go sit on the couch and turn on the ball game or whatever it is you watch, Hallmark movies. Pick on them, no. But that's what living in a state of sleep and slumber is. It's just simply taking whatever gifts that you have and you just won't dispense them. It's so much work to open the box top off and take a major out and give them what you're supposed to. You'd rather just leave the package, sit on the porch, or put it in your closet and keep it for yourself. That's living in a state of sleep and slumber. And it leads to a deficit of blessings. And it doesn't matter how much money you have. See, having a friend is work. And get lazy and your relationships will suffer. You know, start measuring all their faults and your attitude towards them will sour. It doesn't take that long. It takes effort to work to look past faults. Yet God, if you're a Christian, God's given you the ability to look past faults. Being lazy is just letting yourself focus on yourself. When you start disengaging with people whom God has called you to, you know, if you're in a particular family, you know, you're wondering why you were born where you were born, why you're born in America to the Smiths or whoever it was you were born to, it's so that you could be a blessing to them. If nothing else, a light, so let your light shine. It's usually because you have started buying into this idea that you are not receiving recompense for your effort. I've done this. I've tried this. I've worked at this, and here's what I got instead. I went to church, and they just judged me. And so you start entertaining the idea that it should be your turn. Now, maybe I'm the only one that's ever had thoughts like that. That you are the one who always gets the short end of the stick. And here's the problem. When you start thinking that way, you're going to get lazy and start using a tiny measure. Just because you're thinking that way. And that's why we're told not to become weary in well-doing. Well-doing is work. To maintain a standard, you know, in a lifestyle, and you know, that's work. And it doesn't just come naturally. Sleep and slumber is what's calling you. Come to the bedside, lay down, it's your turn. No one cares about you anyway. Sleep is not about taking naps. I take naps. Sleep is about not making the effort to use the gifts that God has put into your armament. Sleep is about disengaging from your purpose, the abilities that God has put on the inside of you. It is a mistake to think that your good works can go unrewarded. So even to entertain those thoughts is foolish because you're not factoring in how God repays you. You're simply looking to how you feel humanity is paying you, how your spouse is paying you, how your friend is paying you. And that's what you're looking to for recompense, and you feel like you're getting the raw end of the deal. Why did you not consider the recompense of God? You're not factoring on how God repays you. It's okay to take a break. Go on a vacation, so to speak. recharge. That's part of being a healthy person, a healthy individual. Jesus would withdraw from people, but guess what? He didn't withdraw from people because he was fed up with them. He didn't withdraw from people because he was tired out, and you know, he says, these people, I'm just tired of them. I need a break from these people. He did it as part of being a wise steward over his life. He took care of the sheep. You know, he delivered the meals, but he also ate himself. He didn't ignore his relationship with his master, his father. And so, I'm just pointing out that there's balance to the things that I'm talking about. Don't think that I'm saying you should never enjoy anything. You should never have a new set of clothes or go on a vacation or do anything that's good. God wants to bless you. He does bless you. He'll give you gifts. He'll increase the amount that you have. He'll prosper you. But you just need to remember, why does he want to put you in such good shape? Why does he want to empower you that way? Instead of trusting how you feel, you need to take time to establish your heart. And sometimes the best place to do that is when you're off praying. What kind of person am I? How do I want to live my life? You know, do I want to be a, I don't know what a word, I thought of a word and I thought I don't know if it's bad or not, so I don't want to say it. Do I want to be a punk? Is that a bad word? Do I just want to live like a little mouse? Or do I want to live like the giant that God has made me? And so don't be selfish and lazy with your emotions. Don't submit your motivation to negative feelings. So often we sit around, we wait till how we feel, and then that decides our motivation. You're not going to have the right motivation. Don't withdraw into some dark corner. Be busy about the business of letting your light shine. And that's a decision you make. You have to make it every day, and every moment, and all day long. When you come into confrontation and you come into disappointment, you come into failure and you come into all these things, you have to make a decision. Who are you? I'm a helper. I use my gifts to help. Be busy about the business of letting your light shine. Do you ever feel grumpy? I can go home feeling grumpy and start making everyone else miserable. Make everybody else pay a price. We call that kicking the cat. I mean, you had such a bad day at work. Surely someone in your family, when you go home, they ought to suffer with you, right? Sleeping in slumber simply means that, you know, you're just rolling with your feelings. Bad day at work, bad day at home. I feel lousy, so I'm going to act lousy. I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like giving. I don't feel like standing up. I don't feel like being a light. So I'm just going to sit in my chair and just whatever. Walking, waking, and getting up means taking authority over Mr. Grumpy. And, in other words, you know, maybe you have had a bad day. Maybe you don't feel emotionally great. You can't just click your fingers and always fix that. But you can learn to keep using your gifts. You don't have to pass that one on. That's a gift from the devil. And usually we don't have any problem dispensing that gift. We use a big measure on that one. But the gifts that come from God, that's the one that's hard. That's why it's considered to be work. When you're not willing to give, you simply roll with your feelings, you believe whatever your emotions tell you, and as a result, exhaustion and doldrums will settle over you like a fog. Just like the day just settles on you. Doesn't matter what's going on, pretty soon nothing. You just become, it's like you can't feel nothing, and you can't experience nothing. It's just like all hope is gone, and it just doesn't matter if you got money or don't have money. It just doesn't matter what your circumstances, it will just overtake you. Oh me, oh my. You'll want more sleep and more slumber. And so it's a cycle. And it's a problem while you're not willing it's a problem when you're not willing to do the work of using your gifts. And I'm just telling you, the only way out of this is you have to start right where you're at with what you have. And the moment you make that decision that you're going to use whatever gift it is, I don't care how tiny or what's left, how dull it is, whatever it is, the minute you make that decision that you're going to use it, things will brighten. You'll feel better just having made the decision. How many of you have ever struggled with forgiving somebody? Or you've been mad at them? Okay, and let's say then you managed to forgive them. Let's not talk about someone you haven't managed to forgive yet. But you're mad at someone, you know, maybe you're mad at your spouse or whatever it is, and you decide to forgive them and love them. How many of you just ruined your whole day the minute you made that decision? You just said, I should have never, ever forgave him for that. That was my big mistake. No, you always feel great, don't you? But that's work. You know, put yourself down and to make that decision. You know, that's in a different place. But yet that's where the reward is. That's where the increase comes from. And that's why I tell you we shouldn't have an aversion to work. We should embrace that. It sets into motion a pattern of poverty when you just go with your emotions. But when you make a decision to use your gift, it sets into motion a pattern of blessings. God gave you gifts, but when you focus on what you don't have, it ensures your distress will continue. But when you start activating and giving from what you already have, I mean, using your gifts will be a blessing. It's wonderful. Your blessings will multiply. God is not stingy. He looks back and forth every day for someone he can bless, someone to fulfill the purposes that he called them to. He loves people. But, you know, if he wants to bless sister so-and-so and he wants to send somebody, he's got to find someone that's willing to use one of the gifts that he's given to them. And if no one will use their gift to bless this dear lady that he wants to bless, then why give them to him in the first place? Using your gifts will be a blessing and your blessings will multiply. Go with me to Luke chapter 6, verse 38. It says, "Given it will be given to you, a good measure pressed down and shaken together and running over will be poured into your lap, for with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you." Now, we use this when we take offerings. In fact, I was going to use it this morning. But it's much more than that. You know, you want to excel in the grace of giving to the church, but just as much in your attitude towards life and people, in identity. Who am I? I'm a person who offers aid. I'm a person gifted from God, and those gifts have a purpose for them. I'm the delivery guy. I'm the ox. If you let lazy rule you, you won't be a giver. No pressed down, shaken together blessings for you. If you let your flesh rule you through your emotions, you're going to draw back, you're going to withdraw, and you're going to keep your gifts for yourself. You know, I understand that we have different personality types. Every personality type actually serves a good purpose if it's used right. But I'll tell you one type of personality type we all share, and it's called selfish. Even the way that you listen is important. Not listening when you can is a choice to sleep. How many bad moments have you experienced because of someone else? How many bad moments have you experienced because you or someone else wouldn't listen? You know, if they would just open their ears and just try to listen to me, or if I had just listened, I wouldn't be in this spot. And so you need to put a demand on what you're hearing. When you do that, God speaks to you things beyond what's being said. God gives you gifts and asks you to be a good steward of them. And if you're not, then you will suffer poverty in all its forms. And if you're a good steward, then you'll always have more than enough. We're going to be celebrating 25 years. I was going to say, this is where you clap. We're going to be celebrating 25 years. So this is a special year for us. It's the year called Yodem. And where's my Yodem slide? Oh, there it is. Oh, look there. Anyway, that's all right. And it's the year of the meeting, okay? So it's a year that we're going to be reminding ourselves of our priorities, who we are as Christians, what we're called to. And it's a year when we remind ourselves not to follow the ways of the selfish world and, you know, to make sure that we're focusing on God's purposes for our lives. And the church isn't supposed to be a thing that's shriveling up and shrinking away. We should be vibrant and growing. And so I pray and believe that God is stirring hearts. I know that He's stirring my heart. And I know that my sermons are helpful, but they're not adequate. I understand that. But when the Holy Spirit goes to work on someone, things begin to happen. I was talking to my sister. My sister was involved super heavy in a church since she was kids. You know, my parents went off to Bible school, Rhema and that. My sister grew up at home in that. She just was always on fire, always part of the church, always a giver, all that stuff. And over recent years, I don't know, life took its toll and whatever it was. And next thing, she wasn't going to church anymore. Still, I think, loved God. But you could just see that kind of hurt, drawing back, sleep, slumber, just kind of whatever. You see, I've seen it in countless Christian lives that I've been around for 50 years, and it's disturbing. And it's not how I want my race to go. But I was talking to her on the phone the other day, and she said that her and one of her friends got involved with a group in her town to start a new church. She's on the board to get that going and make that happen. Their church, their town doesn't have anything. I think it's a Catholic church, or not much there. And praise God. So she's getting involved again. She's excited about Jesus. And I think about His faithfulness. And, you know, what you can't do yourself, the Holy Spirit can do. And I just believe He's out there working. And I believe He's out there talking to people. And they might be wrestling with it. They may be having a hard time. The enemy might be whatever he's doing. But I believe we're to pray for those people and to look for good things. I think God's going to do good things. And I believe He's talking to your heart too, and my heart. And so I'm praying that the Holy Spirit is drawing you closer to Him, and I trust that He is revealing to you that He's coming soon and that you have a purpose. And now that I've talked about giving more, I want to talk to you about something else. I already talked about this earlier. Give me my next slide. And that is March 3rd. We're going to have Sleep In Sunday. Here I've been telling you how you're supposed to give more, come to church more, be involved more. Well, we're not doing less. We're just changing the time. And so I'm not asking you to come to another service even. I'm just saying we're just going to move it. And I think this is a change up, and I think it'll be exciting. And it'll be fun. I don't know. We'll come up with some other stuff to do. But invite some friends. Some of those people, you ever talk to someone, they always say, I go to church, but I work Sunday mornings, or I can't get up at that time, and yada, yada, yada. Well, you know, for them, I'll tell you what, you know, we all have strongholds, okay? And for some of them, it is something impossible. But you know what? Now you can say, well, we're having a night service. Yes?
Can we come in our jammy
night? That would be wonderful. We should call it a Sleep-In Sunday Jammy Night.
Jammy Night.
come jam with the jammers.
Oh, yeah.
Yes?
Is there food?
Well, I don't want to say that because then I on spot. You're not doing what I preached about this morning. I'm just kidding. You're so good. Oh, just kidding. It's all good here, Dennis. We're just anyway. It's going to be a special worship night with Sydney and the band, and praise God. How many of you think that they're just doing a bang-up job? Man, I mean, they are getting better every Sunday, and I know that they haven't maxed out yet. So, and I think that, anyway, I think that's a tool in our chest. I think that's a gift that Abundant Life Family Church has, and we need to use that gift and share it. So we're going to be moving our service from 10:30 a.m. to 6 a.m. You can come here, but the doors will be locked. You know, and you'll have to, if you want to sit here from 10:30 in the morning or 10 in the morning until 6 that night. You can come do that, okay, but the doors won't be open. And it's going to be a special night of worship, and hopefully I'll get a chance to speak. Maybe I should say hopefully I won't get a chance. Anyway, either way, it's going to be good. And so I want to ask you to come, pencil that in. You know, just put everything away that you know. If you have any negative thoughts about it, just shelve it one time. Try this, and just come, and let's see what God does. Okay.